Yo, thanks for tuning in and listening to the Grizz Podcast. Today is Thursday, March 21st, 2019, and I'm coming at you from Managua, Nicaragua. That's right, Managua, Nicaragua. I'm not even lying, dude. You can hear the birds in the background. Those are not North American birds. I don't even know what's going on with the bird kingdom down here. On this episode, I'm going to give you a glimpse inside the dirty world of sex trafficking here in Central America. But I want you to see what God is doing about it, and I'm going to tell you how I'm going to join him in making a life-changing difference in the lives of the victims. And I'm going to share with you how you also can be a part of it. So here we go.
To the Grizz Podcast, where our mission is to help boys become men and to help men become better men. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. Now here's your host, itinerant speaker and podcaster, Jason George.
So what the heck am I doing in Nicaragua? Well, several years ago when I was living in Missouri, one of my good friends, Joe Shearer, had come down here to the country on a few mission trips with our church, First Baptist Nixa, and he told me about this ministry down here that he came in contact with called House of Hope. And he told me about this lady, April Havlin, who is the founder and director of it. Joe told me that April and some other women were literally going into the local brothels down here in Managua and evangelizing the women and the girls who were being prostituted. And Joe was just real excited about this ministry. And the more he told me about it, the more interested and excited I became, because at that time I had been wanting Narrow Trail Ministries, the ministry that I oversee, to do something to help victims of sex trafficking. I'm not sure why, but I felt a real burden for the victims of sex trafficking. I didn't want to get involved in trying to fight it politically or with legislation. I just wanted to help the victims of sex trafficking. Bottom line is, you can make all the legislation that you want, but it does nothing to really offer the victims hope, healing, recovery, a better, more productive life, and that's what I was interested in. So Joe told me that April Havlin had raised enough money to buy property outside the city of Managua, Nicaragua, out in the country, and they had teams coming in from America, and the teams were building the roads, the facilities, the concrete walls around it, the housing, and they began just creating this in-house rehabilitation program for these women and girls that provided not only the gospel and teaching about the Christian life, but it also provided these victims housing, food, and clothing for them and their children, and the ability to work jobs and make their own money so that these women don't have to be tempted to return to prostitution to survive. So my friend Joe had checked it out, and he assured me it was legit, and I really trust Joe. So I contacted the director, April Havlin, who started all of it, and I began talking with her about how our ministry, Narrow Trail Ministries, could help them in their mission. Long story short, several years ago, we raised about $5,000 for House of Hope, and we gave it to them to use however they saw fit for their ministry with the victims. We weren't going to tell them what to do with the money or whatever. They could figure that out. Now, fast forward about 4 years to present day, 2019, I contacted the director, April Havlin, and told her that I really wanted to come visit Nicaragua this year and meet with her about a possible partnership between House of Hope and Narrow Trail Ministries. And I wanted to see the ministry, House of Hope, firsthand for myself. And I wanted to see Managua, Nicaragua, this whole area. I wanted to understand it. When I contacted her, I had no idea that this was a right-on-time God thing for House of Hope. Because of the volatile political situation in Nicaragua last April, where over 1,000 Nicaraguan protesters were shot and killed by the police, this has made things extremely difficult for House of Hope to operate because mission teams stopped coming down here because of just the fear of getting shot, killed, whatever. And when mission teams stop coming to House of Hope, that means they not only lose much needed help for building projects, but they also lose much needed financial support because the teams would always purchase the jewelry and the crafts and the other merchandise that the women who are residents here were making, and that money actually provides them money to support their families. Again, they're teaching these women to do real jobs instead of returning to prostitution, real jobs that give them real money to support them and their families. And the teams that come down would be the ones who would buy this merchandise up. Listen, guys, there are no good jobs here in this area. I mean, for the most part. I mean, I hear unemployment is like 90%. People are begging for jobs, any kind of jobs. Also, the medical teams that were coming down here, they stopped coming. So think about that. The women and the children, they're suffering because of that. The medical teams did phenomenal stuff. They were providing vision testing. They would give the women and children eyeglasses if they needed them. They were doing dental procedures. They were even doing cervical cancer screening and even surgery if it was needed for those kind of things. And of course, they brought much needed medicines, which are hard to get down here. Now, April told me that the sales of the products that the women make, jewelry and some of the clothing and the little hair pins, and they even make these really cool wooden ink pens. I mean, they literally make them out of the wood from Nicaragua. I was watching them work on the equipment. These women, all of that, the sale of those products were generating $1,000 per week that April would use to split up among these women who were working here in House of Hope. That stopped after what happened last April with the mass murder of Nicaraguan protesters. The Nicaraguan government was not killing white people, the gringos. They were killing any Nicaraguan protesters that were protesting the government. You see, the president and his wife, who is the vice president, are really just evil dictators who don't really care about the people here. Their government and police are extremely corrupt. The stories I've heard over the last 3 days are insane, and I don't have time to get into all of them. But anyway, House of Hope had typically 35 to 40 teams that would come down here to House of Hope in Nicaragua per year. Listen to me. They have had zero teams since all that happened in April 2018. So they are taking a major hit financially, but also with maintenance and keeping up with facilities, all of that. I, Jason George, am the only team that has come down here since April of 2018. So for the last year, I'm the only team that's come down, and my team consists of me and the Holy Spirit. But, you know, it's one heck of a team, you know what I'm saying? So at House of Hope, there's been a lack of donations, a lack of maintenance, lack of houses being built, a lack of merchandise being purchased. But the funny thing is, though, before everything went down last April, House of Hope had about 300 women that were coming to their big Tuesday Bible study that is only for victims of sex trafficking. You cannot come to it if you're not a victim of sex trafficking or currently in it or had been in it. You just can't come. They screen it. And there were 300 women coming to that. And these women would come to the Bible study. They would also begin working on creating, products, crafts, things like that to make money the right way. But by December of 2018, they had 500 women coming because the brothels were closed at night because of everything that was going on with the government, killing people. These women and girls feared going out at night because of the police shootings. So it kind of is funny in a way that all these crazy evil things were happening with the government, but it turned the weekly Bible study from 300 women attending to 500 women coming and attending the weekly Tuesday Bible study that April leads up. So I talked with some of the residents of the program, and I also talked with graduates of the program. I'm trying to help you guys understand a whole lot in just a little bit. Basically, they can take on right about 20-some girls into the program at a time, and these girls are in-house residents of the program. They've got some, you know, strict rules that they have to abide by. It is not a prison. They can leave anytime they want, but if they're going to stay in the program, they got to follow the rules. It is very gospel-centered, a lot of Bible teaching, but they're teaching them life skills and how to live. They're teaching them how to parent because they know nothing about this, but yet they got all these kids from being raped or prostituted out or whatever. So they stay in this program for 4 years total. And then if they graduate the program, House of Hope will provide them a house of their own. But with the house of their own, they have to follow a few rules and things like that. Like they have to, can't have a man in there unless it's a man they get married to. They got to keep going to church. They need to stay in connection with House of Hope. All these sorts of things. So I talked with the residents of the program, and I also talked with some of the graduates of the program. And I'm telling you, I did quite a bit of crying over the last 3 days being here in Nicaragua. Most of these women, teens, and even girls, when they were prostituting, they were given $1 per trick. You know what I'm saying? You know what a trick is, right? That's where a guy pays to get what he wants sexually from them. They were given $1 per trick. And some of these women and girls were doing 30 tricks per day. You didn't misunderstand me there, 30 tricks per day. April told me that the youngest girl she has seen come out of prostitution was 5 years old. And they're mostly the guys who are coming and using these prostitutes. She told me these are truck drivers who come through Nicaragua from other Central American countries, and they're selling things like produce and other stuff. And when they come through, they make their money, they get paid in cash, and they spend some of it at the brothels before they return home to their countries. And it doesn't matter what age the girls are, they can get just about whatever age they want. The same happens in the port cities here in Nicaragua when the ships come through with cargo and then the sailors take a break and visit the brothels. I saw several young teen girls attend the Bible study this past Tuesday morning who came with their babies and young children. And most of them have no idea which man is the father of their children because they have literally been around, passed around, used so much. Here in Nicaragua, the majority of the men treat women horrible, absolutely horrible. They think they are quote unquote macho men. That's the word that the women kept telling me kind of in a derogatory way. Like they think they are macho men. And what they do is they bully, they abuse, they rape, and they molest women. They even prostitute their own wives and children. I'm not kidding. I heard stories of that. Husbands prostituting their own wives and children just to make money. They molest their own children. They molest the men here molest their nieces, their grandchildren. It is insane. These quote-unquote macho men know nothing about true masculinity. I mean, part of me feels like bringing down a few of you guys, you know what I'm saying, and us being the avengers of God upon these weak cowards, but I won't do that because the Lord says vengeance is mine and or his, you know what I'm saying, and he'll take care of that. April Havlin started working with these girls, evangelizing them in the brothels back in 2001. She founded House of Hope in 2006. Her husband, Mike, is a pastor down here, great guy, has planted churches all over Central and South America, does a lot of work with Spanish-speaking churches, even in America on the East Coast. He speaks at conferences, he does a radio show, and he travels to Colombia often to help pastors and churches there. I'm telling you, April and her husband, Mike, are in the dirty trenches of ministry that most people want nothing to do with. There is nothing cool or glamorous or comfortable about any of what I see down here with the real ministry to these victims of sex trafficking and even the church planning and things like that. Nothing cool, glamorous, or comfortable, man. It's just hard going. It's real ministry, man. It is Jesus stuff. You know what I'm saying? On Tuesday morning Bible study, like I said, you cannot be at that unless you've been involved in prostitution or you still are involved in it. And these ladies can come here and they can use the little bit of money that they have to buy some food. They can get coffee. They can get fruit, fresh juice. There's some sodas available. And there's even used clothes that some of the graduates from the program, they're selling all of this stuff. So the graduates are running like their own little business to make their own money, which is really cool. And April was telling me there's a difference between relief mission work and developmental mission work. And what they're doing here at House of Hope is not relief mission work. This is developmental mission work. And there's a huge difference. You know what I'm saying? It's like the old Chinese proverb. Give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, but teach a man to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. April and her staff are teaching these women to fish for themselves so that they don't have to return to prostitution after they come out of the four-year program. It is incredible. It's hard, and you know, she was telling me, April was, that things don't go exactly the way they wanted to go. Of course, there are a lot of problems with the girls and the women that are in the program. They come with so much baggage, just mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. But I kid you not, guys, Grizz Tribe, listen to me. This is some of the realest ministry I've ever seen in my life. I literally had to fight back tears during the Bible study on Tuesday morning when I watched 400 women begin singing praise songs to a good God who loves them unconditionally. And I'm looking at these 400 women with their children and their no fathers, and they've been abused and victimized and trafficked. And dude, it pissed me off. It broke my heart. And I listened through a translator as April shared the gospel with them clearly. And she was just full of joy, full of excitement. She was very animated as she taught. I met one lady here who is about to graduate the program. Listen to this. She has one arm. Her arm is chopped off at the shoulder. And one side of her face was slashed, and it left her unable to smile on that side of her face. So one side of her face droops. It's the same side of her body where her arm is completely chopped off at the shoulder. And she was worshiping God. And I asked what her story was, and I found out that the man who is the father of most of her children, he forced her to begin prostituting to make him money. And while she's out doing that for him, he's raping her daughters at home against her will. And then he eventually got her 13-year-old daughter pregnant. And so this woman finally had enough, and she stood up to him, which women don't do down here. And he pulls out his machete and he chops off her arm completely at the shoulder. And he slashed her face down to the facial nerves to where one side of her face is paralyzed. So he went to prison for the attack, like he should. But he got no prison time for anything that he did sexually. He's still in prison, thank God. But, you know, just think about that. So he attacks the woman physically, cuts her arm off, and he gets in trouble. But nothing that he did sexually to her or her children, there's no consequences for that. Nothing. It's not even cared about down here. That's just one of the real life stories I heard here. And I actually, you know, got to talk with this woman. I got to hug her. I don't even know what to say to her. You know what I mean? But then I went to a Bible study yesterday that was with just the actual residents who live at House of Hope. So there was only probably about 15 in attendance. And April was teaching them just basic relational skills from the Bible. I mean, these ladies are so clueless. And I don't say that to make fun of them. They have no idea how to treat people other than the way that they've been treated, which is cruel and violent and manipulated. And April has to just teach them basic skills, life skills, even just basic parenting skills. Like, they come to Christ, they get saved, but they're babies spiritually. They know nothing. She said, I got to teach them just basic stuff like don't beat your children when they're bad or they're mad. Don't abuse them. Because all these women know is what's been done to them. And the way people, you know how it is, just people naturally repeat those sinful patterns that were done to them that they've learned. Many of the residents in the program have no type of education. They have no schooling. They're completely illiterate. Only a few that I met had schooling. House of Hope does provide literacy training and a psychologist on staff in-house. So these girls and women, listen, I want you to know, guys, they have dreams for their life. They have things that they want to do, but they can't because of this corrupt government system and the way that men abuse and oppress them. One mother told me she has one dream. She has one dream. Here's her dream: to have a house that's hers, a safe place where she can raise her kids, feed them, and send them to school, where she can go and work a good job every day to provide for them. You see, she's not looking for a handout. She's not looking for Americans just to, you know, give her everything she needs. She says, give me an opportunity. She said, I don't care if I cook, I clean, I make jewelry, whatever. She says, I want to work and I'll work hard. I'll work honest. The crummy jobs that Americans don't want, I would take in a heartbeat just to have a small one-room home for my kids where they're safe and can be fed and go to school. That's her dream. But she fears that she'll never, ever have it. She told me she sells vitamins and supplements on the streets. She buys them off the black market, and sometimes she has to walk 10 miles per day to towns where she can make a sale, and then she has to get all the way back home to provide for her kids. She says, some days I don't make any sales with the vitamins and supplements. She told me that her 11-year-old daughter was molested by her uncle, who gives her a home to live in. She cried telling me all of this. She said her 11-year-old has never been the same. Her 11-year-old begged her to send her to a psychiatrist, and she said that her daughter, the 11-year-old who was molested by the uncle, pees herself frequently ever since this happened and has nightmares often. Now the uncle is threatening to kick her and her kids out of the small house he owns just because she stood up to him and said, you're never going to touch my daughter again. This is real life in Nicaragua and in many other countries all around the world, but especially here in Central America. I mean, you thought your life was bad. You hate your job? Come to Managua. Meet these women, these teens, these girls, and I promise you, you will shut your mouth just like I shut mine and started thanking God for the problems that I do have. So I'm leaving so much out of this. This is just really pieced together at the last minute before I leave Nicaragua and catch a flight to Miami. I'm here to form a partnership with Narrow Trail Ministries and House of Hope. I've met with April Havlin, the director, multiple times since I've been here and asked a lot of questions, a lot of hard questions, even about the finances and where the money goes, how she and her husband are paid, all of that, which she and her husband receive nothing from House of Hope. They are completely separate and supported as missionaries by churches in America. So we have a plan as to what Narrow Trail is going to do to help House of Hope through this difficult season ever since all this violence happened in 2018 and stopped teams from coming down here. But before I can announce all of the specifics, I have to run everything by our board of directors for Narrow Trail. For now, I do want you to know that for 2019, we have set up a separate fund or account, checking account, bank account, whatever, on our website that people can give to. It's called the Mission Fund for House of Hope. And I promise you 100% of that money that goes in there is going to House of Hope. I receive nothing from that. The little that I am paid from Narrow Trail Ministries comes out of our general fund. So it's very exciting. I want you guys to be part of it. I'm going to tell you more. I plan to visit House of Hope's property and facilities in Honduras in the next few months because they are expanding. They're not just in Nicaragua now. They're in Honduras, and they have started something in Belize. This is crazy, man, what God is doing. I don't know how 62-year-old April Havlin keeps up with this. I mean, I can't keep up with her. So I plan to go to Honduras soon, and I'm definitely going to be back here in Nicaragua at least two more times this year to pull off what we're planning to do with House of Hope, which I'm going to tell you guys about very soon once I talk to the board of directors. So that's what I got. Thanks for taking time to listen to the Grizz podcast and be praying for this ministry down here, House of Hope, and even be praying and asking God what you can do to be a part of it, what you could give to be part of it, even if it means, hey, this Friday night, instead of my wife and I going out to dinner and dropping $70, whatever you drop on a nice Friday night dinner in a movie, whatever, to say we're going to stay home. We're going to eat some rice and beans on purpose like the people in Nicaragua. And we're going to take that $70 and we're going to give it to House of Hope. And listen, guys, I'm not pressuring you. I'm not going to use some guilt trip. I'm not going to say God told me to tell you. It's not like that. I'm seeing a need down here. I want to do something about it. I think a lot of you guys would love to do something about it. That's all I'm saying. If you don't want to do anything about it, don't do anything about it. Okay, whatever. I'm not mad at you. You know how I am, man. I'm the Grizz, baby. And you're my brothers from other mothers. So I'm going to shut up. Anyway, I got to go pack really quick, get everything in my backpack. And then Pastor Mike, April's husband, is coming to pick me up, get me to the airport in Managua. I got to head to Miami. I'm stuck in Miami for a day. Poor me, right? It's because they're grounding some of those planes that Boeing made ever since that big plane crash in Africa. So I got to wait till the next day to fly out. So that's what's up, man. If you got any questions, comments, feedbacks for me, my email is jason@narrowtrail.com, jason@narrowtrail.com. And if you've never left a rating and review for the Grizz Podcast on iTunes, please take 1 minute and go and do that. I really appreciate it. So that's it. If you want to leave a donation, forgot to mention this. If you want to leave any kind of a donation, whether it's for the Grizz Podcast specifically or for House of Hope, our mission fund for them, go to narrowtrail.com/give, narrowtrail.com/give. And this time I really mean it when I say it. I'm out. Peace.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.